Hello, welcome. This is Kimberly Harrison Hicks. Welcome to the 110 Chamber Radio, the voice of business. I'm your host of Good Women Win, a show dedicated to inspiring women and inspiring goodness. It is a beautiful Friday here in Hunterdon County, and I hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy the day. It's supposed to be 88 degrees, sunny, the humidity is low. By far, today is probably the best day to go out. The weekend's going to be beautiful, sunny both Saturday and Sunday. However, there's going to be a chance of thunderstorms. So today is by far the best day to get out and enjoy the day.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Welcome again. This is Kimberly Harrison Hicks, the host of Good Women Win, a show to inspire goodness. I want to first thank everyone for tuning in Facebook Live and listening in to the Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Each week, I will say the show keeps getting better and better. We had last week over 1,000 people tune in to watch the show. And I just want to say thank you, and I so appreciate you for listening and watching. And please, again, share with your friends, because that's how we build our audience up. And if it's something that you like, thank you. Share it. Today's episode is Miss Independent. How to become the CEO, that boss, the doctor, or whatever that your mom wanted you to marry. And today, I am so excited because I have Miss Independent herself. I have Christina Davis, who's in the building, and she walks like a boss. She talks like a boss. She is a boss, and she does it flawlessly. Thank you so much, Christina, for joining us. We so appreciate you.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
You are so many things. So I will say, you know, in my opinion, you truly are a boss because you handle things with so much grace and elegance. I will say you are a co-pastor, yes, along with your husband at Shiloh Baptist Church.
Greater Shiloh Church.
Mm-hmm. You're a mom of three, yes, a grandmother. Yes. And you are an inspiration. I heard you speak, and you truly, truly blew me away. So my first question is, how do you define purpose?
For me, I define purpose as the original intent of an invention or a creation. When God created us, he created us on purpose for a purpose. For me, when I think of purpose is one of the most powerful forces in the world, because God was so intentional when he created each one of us with our own identities, with our own gifts and our own strengths and our own weaknesses, but in all of that was our own purpose for us to do something that no one else could do in this world.
I love that. I know you're familiar with our first lady, our forever first lady, Michelle, yes, Obama, yes, her book, Becoming. Yes. And she's been going around the country speaking to young women to inspire, not just young women, I will, mm-hmm, say all women, to inspire,
yeah,
us, and to inspire, yes, us to know that we can be more than just someone's wife, mm-hmm, someone's mother, someone's, the wind beneath someone else's wings was what she actually quoted. You don't have to just aspire to do that. Yes. And she said the first thing you need to do is prioritize yourself.
Absolutely.
And how are you able to prioritize yourself? Because your mom, your wife, your co-pastor to a church, that requires a lot. How are you able to prioritize yourself to really define and live out your purpose?
Wow. Prioritizing is just, it's a a daily function in my life. I end each night by creating notes and a schedule for myself for the next day. My to-do list is I live by all throughout the day, and I cannot function unless I have my to-do list. I blame some of it on being 50, but it's become a habit that I've created in my life, and it keeps me on task. Prioritizing your life is so important, especially when you're working towards your purpose and working to walk in your purpose. You know, it's a hard thing for women to, one, say, I don't know my purpose. And I've been in many settings where women have just not known their purpose, and they're looking for someone else to tell them, what is my purpose? And that people have gotten away with saying that purpose is lost. And it's not. Purpose is not lost. It doesn't have to be found. It is inside of you, and it just has to be uncovered. Sometimes it's in the nurturing process. Sometimes you're just not ready for that greatness that God has established and set aside for you. But nevertheless, purpose is on the inside of you. And the only way that you're going to walk in your purpose is if you have a plan. Okay. Everything in life has a process. When you have a child, there's a process. Creating this show was a process. You're walking in your purpose. It has a process, and prioritization is one of the things that you must do.
Can you give us, so how are you able to identify your purpose? So like I said, you're a mom, you're a wife, you're a co-pastor. How are you able, and if you could help and tell us what that purpose is for you, how do you define that?
For me, I can summarize my purpose into impacting the lives of women. I can summarize it. Now that my take on purpose is that we are not singularly purposed. And whenever I share this, I always talk about Mr. Clean, the cleaning product when we were younger. But when you look at the container, it says multi-purpose cleaner.
Amen.
And when I think about us, God didn't create us just for one purpose. He created us with multi-purposes. So in one season of my life, I was just a wife. And while I was just a wife, I mastered being a wife. I decided I didn't want to be a good wife. I wanted to be a great wife. So in order to do that, I had to take my assignment of being a wife seriously, and I had to study my husband and know how to master Philip Davis.
Okay.
And being a wife to Philip Davis. I can't tell everyone how to master being a wife, but I will tell you that if you study your spouse and you learn how to be a wife to him, then you will be a great wife. And at that particular season of my life, my purpose was to be a wife. When children came about, my purpose became multi because now I was a wife and a mother. And then at another season in my life, I became an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And I love my husband. I love that man, that Philip Davis. I love the way he walks. I love the way he talks. Oh. I love the way he smells. I love everything about him. But he loves the fact that I am multifunctional.
Okay.
And multi-purpose. He wouldn't want me to just be contained to just one area of my life. He wants to see me walk in the fullness.
I love that. I love that. So I will say the only thing to add to that is it's not just important to marry. You must marry someone that is equally yoked.
Because that's right.
If he wasn't appreciative of who you are, that might not be the case.
That might not be the case.
I truly love that. So many women, and including myself, I find there are times when I feel guilty about taking time for me. Mm-hmm. In order to take time, in order to become an entrepreneur, that really, you needed to take time mm-hmm. for just you and yes. to build this vision. Mm-hmm. Tell us how you were able to do that. And are there steps that you took? Or, you know, what was the key for you to become an entrepreneur?
Sacrifice of time. When everyone else was sleeping, I was writing my book and becoming an author. when everyone else was asleep, I was writing out business plans, and I was developing my next step and the next phase of my purpose. I didn't always have a scheduled time that I could do that. I had to fit it in where I could get it in.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes we want everything to flow perfectly, but it's about the sacrifice, and you can only be what you allow yourself to be. If you settle for mediocrity, then that's what you will be. You'll be mediocre.
I love that, sacrifice, because mm-hmm. I think sometimes people see the journey after. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, wow, you sit before me. And I will tell you, you truly inspired me during when I met you when you were a keynote speaker at the Passion and Purpose. And I thought, this woman has it all together. Tell me. And I know that because that's what I see, but I know that the sacrifices, and I know that you had to go through some things. Tell me what was one of your biggest challenges of being able to become an entrepreneur, write a book.
Well, I'll have to say that fear was one of the greatest barriers for me. Every aspect of fear that you can think of, I was challenged in. I was okay. challenged in the area of not being enough. I asked myself all of the hard questions, and I found that I had allowed myself to be seduced by inadequacy.
Ooh, and seduced by inadequacy.
And that's the title of my new book, so that'll be coming soon, The Seduction of Inadequacy. But we allow ourselves to get in a place where it's not just the opinions of others that stop us, but we get in our own way because we have negative self-talk and we don't speak life into our purpose and into our destiny. So we find ourselves stuck and we can't get beyond the place that we are because we're afraid. We're more afraid of the success. Sometimes we think that people are afraid of failure, but most of the time people are more afraid of success and what it will cost you to get there.
Oh, I love that. We're going to take a quick commercial break because you know we have to pay these bills.
That's
although
right.
We're Facebook Live, stay tuned. Just a quick commercial break and we'll be right back with Christina Davis, a servant leader, a mom, a wife, discussing how she became a boss.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Welcome back. This is Kimberly Hairston Hicks. And as you know, I'm sitting here with Christina Davis, co-pastor, mom, entrepreneur, and I can't wait to hear more about her book. I really can't because, believe me, she is such a wonderful speaker, and I know that I would love to have you in my house that I can continue to browse with and all into a book. So my next question, I truly believe that we have trained our daughters and young women to play it safe, and you just talked about fear. And I believe that that is actually hurting our young women to get to that next level. And it shows up in so many ways. And for example, I just was reading some data that says that women only apply for a job if they have 100% of the qualifications. I mean, they have to check off everything in that job description, while men, 60%. So my question is, how do we teach our young women, and if you had some advice for our young women, and I know you've raised three beautiful women, what advice would you give them to really stop playing it safe?
You allow yourself to settle for less, nobody will stop you. So you have to, we have to teach the young women to see themselves in the greatness that they've been created to walk in. And that's the thing about purpose, that it will do all it's supposed to do. Greatness will do all it's supposed to do to get you where you need to go. But it's you making the decision, what are you going to do? What role will you play in the success of stepping and walking into your purpose? So what would I say to young women? I get a chance to, like you said, I've raised three. I have Sean, who's my oldest. She's my goddaughter. I raised four. And then I have Erica, and I have Rachel, and then I have Mariah. And all of them are very, very different. They all process different. They all see things totally different. But something that I always tell my girls, I tell them, don't allow yourself to get in your way. Don't allow the enemy to tell you what you can't be. You've got to always remember who God says you are. So we have mantras, we have affirmations that we do with girls. When you have girls, you have to make sure that you give them affirmations, because the first bit of success that they will feel is at home. You have to make them feel great at home. The world is out there waiting to tear them down. So we have to, inside of our homes, tell our daughters how wonderful, how beautiful, how amazing, how smart they are. Even if one of my daughters failed a test, I would say, it's okay, you're smart enough to pass it the next time. And I would encourage them. So affirmations are important for young women. But I would tell them, be bold, be courageous, don't give up, and keep on trying. Never, ever, ever stop trying.
I truly love that, and I love that you said be bold, because in today's society, women are showing up in ways that,
yes, we are,
make me so proud. Yes. And I feel like you have to see it, to believe it, and then to become it. What are the things that you do that you needed to, through your process? How did you see it? How did you believe it? And then, you know, I say become it, but becoming, because there is a process.
Yes, becoming is a process word. So I would say that I had to look at purpose not just as the thing that I was intended to do, but my purpose had to become my vision. And when you can see something or smell it or touch it, it becomes real to you. And I allowed my purpose to become real to the point that I saw the end before the beginning. Okay. I saw what I could be before I even started to become it. And as I saw the end, I wanted it. I desired to become that. So I took steps to get to the end. And I realized this, that if God created the end before the beginning, then we're able to see ourselves in that place, and we can become everything that God has called us to be. I believe this, that in kingdom language, in the world's language, you have the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. Mm. But in kingdom language, you never ever heard Jesus say, I can't, I could have, I should have, I would have. You hear him say, I can and I will. So that is the language that we have to use when we are walking in our purpose. We have to tell ourselves, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I will become all that God has called me to be. You have to encourage yourself.
I love that. And it's interesting, because I believe sometimes people mistake purpose for your career or for your job. And if you're not getting a check for your purpose, sometimes we put that to a side. Mm-hmm. What do you think is different? Or give me your thoughts on purpose versus career and how you can marry the two. But they're not necessarily
the same.
The same.
They're not the same. I mean, you may not... As small everyone's created has a purpose to do something, and if and as small as your purpose may, someone else's purpose may be, and someone else's may be grandioso, it's still important. When you have, when the creator and the created simultaneously crash into one another, you get purpose.
Preach.
That's when something amazing happens, because now you have just come in contact with the thing that you've been called to do. And when you do that, when that happens, it's passion. Passion arises. People are not passionate about their jobs that they get paid for. They do their job so that they can get a check. But when you walk into your purpose, it's something that you love, and you know that you are going to make an impact on this world in someone's life.
It's interesting because, you know, I don't even know where I heard this, but someone mentioned around, you know your purpose when you would do it without getting a paycheck.
Absolutely.
So there are things that, if you feel right now that there's something that you're working a 9-to-5, but there's something that is, I will say, speaking to your spirit, that could be a key to what your purpose is.
Yes.
And you need to figure out how to birth that. And I love it. So when I say become more than just a wife or mother, I am not meaning to bash women that decide to be wives or mothers, because that's your purpose. That is your purpose. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking to those of us who know in our spirit that there's something more. And I know the Bible talks about help meet. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about, because I think I get confused about that. So I know that I was, you know, brought here to be a helpmate to my husband, mm-hmm. but I'm also here to be multi-purpose, as you say.
Yeah.
How do you reconcile with that?
Well, like I said, my husband is my assignment, and when you really determine that that's what you're called to do in that particular area of your life, then it becomes easy. Being the helpmate, I joke with my husband all the time, and I say, well, I'm called to help you, but you can't tell me what areas you want me to help you in and what areas you don't.
Preach.
That's all. That's for all the men out there. When you have a helpmate, then that means we will help in all areas, not just in the areas that you allocate to us. So being a helpmate gives us influence in the lives of our husbands in a way that we also have to be careful of.
Okay.
The one thing that I'm always careful, my husband is a pastor. He's a community leader. He's a student. He's a psychologist. So I have to be careful with his role as a pastor. I will never interfere with what God says to him by using my influence in any way. So I'm in that area. I stand back.
Okay.
But in other areas of influence, like, you know, you could put your shoes where they're supposed to go. That's there are other areas that I will give influence. So, you know, the being a helpmate is an important role. However, being more than a wife is also an important role. And knowing that there's more to you than just what meets the eye.
I love
that. Was that Transformers? More than meets the eye?
More than meets the eye. And I love that you said he's your assignment, because I, you know, growing up, there's always been, for women, we've been taught it is our mission to find a husband. And that's it. You know, I will give you a little bit of personal story. Even after I finished my MBA, my dad still would say to me, Kimmy, I want you to find a husband. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was able to find a husband that, you know, was equally yoked with me. Thank God. Mm-hmm. He's been, you know, wonderful in my life and one of my biggest gifts. So, mm-hmm. again, I am not here to bash men, but I do believe that there is this time for women, mm-hmm. to understand you are meant for more. And, you know, if you haven't read Michelle Obama, our Forever First Lady's book, you need to, because she spoke about times where she felt resentful to Barack, to our forever president, mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. she felt resentful for him because he would take time to go to the gym. He would take time to get healthy. And she was always just with the kids. And she started to resent him. Mm-hmm. There are times when you, as a mom, a mother, and, you know, a mom and an entrepreneur and a wife, felt those moments where you were like, wait a minute, I need to have some self-care for me.
Absolutely. There have been times. And one of the things that me and my husband always do is that let's compromise.
Okay.
There's a stage of marriage where it's about compromise, and that's when you have children. When children are added to a marriage, that is the stage of compromise.
Okay.
Where, okay, you can do this, but then allow me to do that. It's all about, the only way to be successful in that stage of marriage is to compromise. So the way that we have gotten through those issues were to just take time and say, okay, what do you need in this time? And then me sharing what I needed at that particular time. However, all of those times did not, some of them resorted from resentment where I was like, just, you know, you're just having a ball, aren't you, sir? You're just doing, you're doing you, you're having a great time. And what about me over here? I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, and I'm doing all of these things. And all of those things are great. They have to be done.
Yeah.
However, the compromise is, if I do this, what can you do so that my needs are met also? There are two people in the marriage. Well, actually, there's three. There's myself, my husband, and God.
Okay.
In the marriage. So when you have two people in a marriage, you have to make sure that everyone's needs are met. Okay. And the success of a marriage is when you, as a person, can look at your spouse and say, I care more about your needs being met than I care about my needs being met. But that has to be reciprocated.
Okay.
And I believe that God's assassination on selfishness is marriage. Go ahead, get married and try to be selfish. It doesn't work.
No.
He assassinates your selfishness.
I won't get into my personal story too much, but I love my husband. He's actually in the room, so that's really funny that you're speaking today, and he's right. He's taking notes, but that's perfectly fine. Now, I want to shift a little bit to talk about your journey.
Yeah.
I want to ask you two questions. What has been, and I won't say regret, because I think that sounds a little bit like, what was the thing that you learned early on about your journey that you wish that you could change?
Bad decisions. Wrong men, wrong friendships, voices and choices will change your direction permanently if you allow it to. And there have been seasons where I've allowed the wrong people into my life. I've made the wrong decisions. I've connected with the wrong people. And those choices have caused me setbacks. They've caused me regrets. Mm. And if I had it to do all over again, I would have made better decisions.
I love that. We have a 13-year-old daughter, and I try to remind her, you know, when she leaves my presence, make good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is the company that you keep.
That's right.
And I have been blessed to have some wonderful people in my life that, you know, inspired me. Mm-hmm. What has been your biggest inspiration?
My mother.
Oh.
My mother is my greatest inspiration. I am the product of a teen pregnancy. My mother was 15 years old when she had me.
Okay.
However, her and my father married by the time she was 18. She went to college. She got her degree. She's an amazing mom. She just kicked breast cancer in the neck last year, and she's just constantly been my inspiration and always will be.
Oh, I'm sure your daughters feel the same way about you, because just being in your presence.
I hope so.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. Now, what do you think is the greatest myth about being a pastor's wife, a first lady of the church?
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, I'll say this. I tell my parishioners, and I tell other people this all the time, that there somewhere is this book that is for pastors' wives, and it tells you how they should act, how they should sit, how they should dress, how they should treat people, how they should carry themselves, all of the rules and protocols of being a pastor's wife.
Okay.
Everyone else has it. We just don't. It's like the secret manual that's out there. However, that manual is based on the opinions and the experiences of people who, the church experiences that others have had, and they put all of those expectations on a pastor's wife and determine what they think and how they think you should be. And I had to determine very early on as a pastor's wife that I will not allow myself to be lost in the expectations and the opinions of others. I like Christina Davis. I like her, and I had to decide if I was okay if other people didn't like Christina Davis.
Oh, wow.
But I like her, and because I like me, I had to be okay with people deciding that they don't like everything about me and still be okay with who I am.
I love that. Yeah. I do. That's, you know, being okay with you is the first step. Loving you like you're the most amazing person on the earth because, you know, in fact, you are.
Yeah.
Self-care is very important. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with Christina Davis to share more of her story about being a boss and how she's been able to overcome some of the challenges of stepping out on faith and becoming an entrepreneur.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hello and welcome back. This is Kimberly Hairston Hicks of Good Women Win, a show that is here to inspire goodness. And my guest today is Christina Davis, and you have just been awesome. I mean, I'm writing notes because I'm going to definitely use some of your tips. So the next question is around reflection. And when you look back, when you were 21, what advice would today's Christina give to 21-year-old Christina?
Well, when it comes to the story of my life, I would, there are some pages that I would like to revisit.
Okay.
But there are also some chapters that I would like to remove from the story. However, I wouldn't change anything about my journey.
Okay.
Because all of the experiences, the trials, the tribulations, the good, the bad that I've had to endure have made me the woman that I am today. I suffered through a season. I was in a bad relationship where I was in an abusive relationship with a man. So in this, and now that I have got in touch with my purpose, and that is to impact women, there's a part of me that has to impact women who have been or are in abused relationships.
Wow.
Because nothing in your life, no experience in your life will go to waste. God uses every single part of it to impact someone's life. So every part of my story, even those areas that I'd like to, pages I'd like to remit, God knew what he was doing, and he knew that there would be someone who would need to hear about that part of my story. So I would give, I don't know that I would tell her to change anything.
Okay.
I would tell her to just, to live, to love, to laugh, to enjoy life, and to take each day as it comes. I like who I've become. Although I would change, I used to say I would change things. Now I don't.
Okay.
Now I don't. I'm grateful because every part of that experience has had an impact on someone else's life.
Wow. That is something I did not know about you, that you were in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And I just can't just go away from that right now. I want to spend a little bit of time because I think there may be people watching or listening that may be in that same situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know I'm going off script now, but what advice or how did you get out of that situation? I guess is my first question.
I tell the story every once in a while when given a testimony or something, but I ran for my life. Like, it took everything for me to leave. The thing that people don't know about women who are in abusive relationships is not that they want to stay. It's not that they want to continue to be abused. They're just afraid of what will happen if they leave. And because I was so afraid to leave, it took so much for me to actually do it. And when I did, I'll never forget the day he left the house for a little bit. And I said to my mom, I said, "Are you on your way to Allentown?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "I have 10 minutes. If you can come get me within 10 minutes, then I can have my life back." And she came and got me. And I ended up in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I had only been there one other time, and I was like, this is a time zone, time warp. I don't know where I'm at, but it didn't matter. I felt safe.
Oh, wow.
I ran for my life. I had 3 garbage bags full of clothing, and that's it.
Wow. I mean, that
started all over.
I think, you know, we definitely need to have another session with you and another to really, you know, unpack that and help women. But I will say, if there's someone in a situation right now, you know, that you want to get out of a situation, can they DM you? Can you, can they reach out
absolutely.
To you? Okay.
I have a wonderful testimony about a young woman who was a member of our church. And every time she came to me, she would say, "I'm in an abusive relationship and I want to get out." And I would say, "You're not ready yet."
Wow.
Because there's a tone when a woman has just had enough. When enough is enough, there is a tone. And I kept saying, "You're not ready yet." And she said, "No, I am ready." And I said, "Okay, well, then tell them to get out," because it was her home.
Yeah.
And she would come back and come back and come back. And finally, she came back to me one day and she said, "I'm ready. I want him out." I said, "Then do what you need to do."
Wow.
She called the police. She did. She went through all the steps. It's not easy to do. So I'd say to those women who are out there, like the movie Get Out, get out, whatever, by any means necessary, whatever you need to do. There are safe houses everywhere in every city. There's hotlines to call. But if you stay, the longer you stay, the more at risk you are of losing your life. And I almost lost my life several times. But again, that's another story.
One of my dear friend, Melinda Williams, was just in a movie called Love to Death, I believe, on TV One. And my husband and I watch it, and it sparked up so many emotions for me because that story ended in there were 2 deaths out of that story. So what I'm going to do, and by far I am not an expert, I will say I'm going to share some links on this page so that if there's someone out there needs, you know, support or looking for ways to get out of an abusive relationship, I will place it on. But again, I am not an expert on any of this. And so I just want to make sure that if I put something out there, there are some tools and
absolutely.
Some links for that. We're going to take a quick pause and we'll be back with some final thoughts from Christina and some final words of wisdom.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hello and welcome back. This is Kimberly Harrison Hicks with Good Women Win. We're here with Christina Davis, and she is sharing a lot, and she is definitely being vulnerable sharing her story. And that's what this show is about, being vulnerable. And when you're vulnerable, there are things that do come up a little off topic, but still, it has helped you become and get to, because had you not been able to walk out of that situation, God forbid what the outcome could have been. So I truly, truly thank you for sharing your story. I always ask my guests this question because, as you know, I own a skincare company. Yes. And I always ask women about beauty and feeling beautiful. And it always uncovers really insight that really I find very intriguing. So my last question for you is, when was the first time that you felt beautiful?
Oh, wow. I would have to say on my wedding day. But not for the reasons that people would think. Not because I was becoming a wife. Not because I took all of the extra steps to be beautiful that day with the fancy hair and the makeup and so forth. But that day, not only did I feel beautiful on the outside, but I felt beautiful on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
And that is where true beauty emanates from. 1 Peter 3:3-4 says not to be concerned about the beauty on the outside, but be beautiful inside with a lasting charm that is so beautiful to God. That has been not just a scripture for me, but that has been a mantra of life. I don't ever want anyone to look at me and say how beautiful I am on the outside, but then behind my back say she's a terror. I want the beauty to emanate from the inside. I want them to feel and see and experience the love of Christ when they've stepped into my presence. I want them to know that I'm an extension of Him and everything that I do. So that day was the first day I felt both of those beauties combined.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And I have felt it ever since.
And you truly emanate beauty inside and out. I will say, when, you know, again, when you were the keynote at this Passion and Purpose Summit, you blew me away, as I mentioned before. But I will say your spirit actually drew me to you to say, oh, my goodness, I want to know more about this woman. And I will tell you, I was on my chair when you talked about how to be multi-purpose.
Yes.
And I love that. So that testimony definitely meant something to me. Are there any final nuggets that you'd like to share with those watching or listening that you like to share?
Well, as all throughout this interview, I talked about the different phases of your lives that you will go through. And I'll say that in this season for women, in this next chapter, unfortunately, we have to, when you're writing a book, it has to be written line by line, page by page, chapter by chapter. But in this next chapter, I believe that God wants to do really great things in the lives of women. We see it everywhere. We see women rising up in every area where in one season of life, women haven't had that type of, we haven't had that type of platform, but we do now. So I will say, women, become all that you can be in this season. Do all that you can do. Allow yourself to go beyond the limitations that you've put on yourself. Break every glass ceiling that has ever been put in place to stop you. And by all means, get out of your own way.
I love that. And again, Christina, we thank you for coming on this show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's truly been a blessing. And I will just give kind of the recap of what I think I've heard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for those of you who, you know, are taking notes, really, it's our good living tip. And how do you become a good woman that can win is, first, prioritize yourself. Treat yourself like you're the most amazing person on the planet, because you are. Second, don't listen to your ego. Step out of that space of fear.
Yeah.
Don't allow fear to paralyze you from living your purpose. Every single person that's successful had failure. So, of course, you've shared some of yours, and of course, I have mine. Thirdly, get moving. Inaction is worse than action and making a bad decision. Get moving. Do something. And I will leave you with this one thought. It's really to try to capture what this show is about and how to become a good woman that can continue to win. It's a good life does not mean that everything is perfect. It just means that in the chaos and all the destruction and the problems that you have, You're conscious of God's infinite love. I definitely want to thank you again for sharing your story. It has been truly a blessing. I want to thank all of those who are watching via Facebook Live. If you like what we're saying and you want to share something, remember hashtag Good Women Win. Remember to like the Good Beauty page. That just helps us share even more. And I do appreciate your support. And thank you again, Christina, for sharing your story. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. Next Friday's show will be about financial growth. And really, I mean, we talked about purpose. Now this is about how to get that coin and how to manage that money. So please tune in. I thank you, guys. It's been a blessing, and have a wonderful weekend.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Rift? What rift? That's according to Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, downplaying a meeting she had with New York Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
So in our caucus, we have our differences. Respect that instead of making a big issue of it. Respect that. Those are our differences, and how we express ourselves as representatives of our districts is our responsibility.
Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross tells Fox Business that he's not worried about a recession anytime soon.
Well, the enemy keeps postponing when the recession's going to come. They're dying to have a recession. They can't bear going into next year's election with the economy the way that it is.
Ross was responding to a research report by Zillow, which cites a panel of experts who say the next recession is likely to come in 2020. This is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Not a loan company.
USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes from Washington has a look at the latest economic news out today.
The nation's economic growth rate slowing a bit in the year's second quarter, but not by as much as analysts had forecast we'd see in this latest report from the Commerce Department. It says GDP growth from April through June was 2.1%, down from 3.1% in the first quarter. Analysts were expecting to see a growth rate of just 1.8%, which would have been the slowest in over 2 years.
Acting ICE Director Matt Albans tells Fox News that Congress is responsible for the inhumane conditions at many border detention facilities.
We've been asking Congress for years to fund our detention at the levels that we need, and they've failed to do so. If they had funded us at the 52,000 beds that we had requested in FY19, you would not see those conditions in the Border Patrol facilities right now.
Albans also says they will continue to do the best they can at the border. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A new study came out from the Anti-Defamation League that says 65% of people have experienced severe harassment when playing video games online. Now, to be fair, 88% of people surveyed in that same study also say they've experienced some positive interaction while they played video games online. I had a chance to catch up with Julie Miner. She's an adjunct professor of global and community health at George Mason University, and one of the things we talk about is how video games have changed throughout the years.
Probably the best way to look at it is this perception we have of gamers as being sort of socially isolated basement dwellers, right? That they just get on the box and they just play and they're interacting with the game. It's not necessarily true. Most of the popular games, the most highly sold games in the U.S. in the past 4 or 5 years are all multiplayer. So in addition to the technological changes around them in terms of development and immersiveness and artwork and programming, the social nature of play is one of the things that really draws people to them and draws our kids to them. So even if they're playing video games in their house, they're interacting with their friends. They're collaborating with their friends on the game. And that's, I think, something that most parents don't realize is that social nature of play is a really important and integral part of why our kids now are so drawn to them.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.